if you could turn back to that reading from Matthew's account of the life of Jesus, that would be really helpful. Matthew chapter 12. These blue Bibles that are dotted around the building. It's really good to see you all. Matthew chapter 12. We're working our way through Matthew's account of the life of Jesus, and we've arrived at this little part on page 978. In about 30 minutes or so, 25 minutes, after we finish looking at these few verses, we'll have a brief moment of quiet, and then we're going to sing together a song just to prepare ourselves for communion. We're going to sing these words, and it's like putting in a little time capsule. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart, nor be aught else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. We'll be saying in song, we'll be standing up and saying that in song, and we'll be saying, Lord, you've revealed yourself to me, if we're singing those words with integrity, and Jesus is first in my heart. So much so that actually everything else pales into comparison. For our best thoughts, our guiding principle, or I should say person in life is Jesus. That's who Jesus is to me, Lord. And our lives are actually so defined by Jesus that a few verses on we'll sing, riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart, high King of heaven, my treasure thou art. I'm praying right now that each one of us, me included, as a result of listening to these brief words from Jesus, we'll be able to truthfully sing that song together. Some of us, as we continue to follow Jesus as Lord first in our hearts, perhaps singing it in a deeper way. And maybe some of us here for the first time setting apart Jesus as supreme in our hearts, the King who reigns and whose rule we lovingly submit to. So let's pray just briefly and ask for Jesus to help us to understand these words now. Let's pray together. Father, we are amazed to think that 2,000 years ago, Jesus, your only Son, walked on this earth and said the words that we're about to think about. He said them. And Father, we pray that hearing Jesus speak this morning, we might believe what he says. And we pray this for his glory. Amen. So let me ask you a question. Where does Jesus figure in your life? Think of all the variety of elements that make up our lives, your work, whatever that might be, including the hard work of looking after children, the activities of retirement. Think about leisure, hobbies, including rest. Think about your relationships, acquaintances, friends, especially family. Where does Jesus figure in all of that? In fact, does he figure at all? When you think about the dynamics of family life and finances, the hopes and dreams, where does Jesus feature? This morning, we're going to hear Jesus say that to belong to the family of Jesus means to be his disciple doing the will of God. So to belong to the family of Jesus, to belong to Jesus, means to be his disciple doing the will of God. And this is precisely what those around Jesus, not least the Pharisees, have been failing to grasp all the way through chapter 12, as you've got it open in front of you. In chapter 12, it's not been about following Jesus obediently, but failing to understand his ministry, and in fact, actively opposing it. The chapter opened with the Pharisees telling Jesus what he can't do on the Sabbath. Have a look at chapter 12, verse 1. It's also on the screen behind me. At that time, Jesus went through the cornfields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some ears of corn and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. Telling Jesus what he can and can't do. Then a few verses later, we listen to the Pharisees demand that Jesus do something for them. Give them a sign. Just flip over the page to verse 38. Some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, teacher, we want to see a sign from you.
He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asked for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." Now they're not forbidding Jesus, but demanding something of Jesus. Their words are revealing their hard hearts. They have no desire to see and obey the God-man Jesus who stands before them. Because that is who Jesus is. Jesus is God, the one who made this world, the God from all eternity, become a man. Matthew has been building up a watertight case for this so far throughout his historical account. Jesus has spoken about the kingdom of God, God's people in God's place, under God's rule. And we've witnessed the works of Jesus as he's revealed the kingdom of God in ways the Old Testament promised God's king would do, raising the dead and healing the blind and freeing the demon-possessed. A couple of weeks ago, we saw that Jesus said to those listening to him that he was greater than the prophet Jonah, greater than King Solomon. Just earlier in chapter 12, greater than the temple with its sacrificial system. In other words, Jesus is the prophet, priest, and king that the Old Testament promised. And the one who asks all who hear to welcome him into their lives and follow him. That's what the last part of this chapter is all about. What it means to relate to Jesus. This one who is speaking these words of eternal life. And Jesus is going to show this relationship, what it means to belong to Jesus, what it means to relate to him, in a startling way through one more controversial incident. We're going to see to be part of Jesus' family means to be his disciple doing the will of God. And the first way Jesus shows us that is he reconfigures his own family. Jesus reconfigures his family. Look at verse 46. So while Jesus was still talking, he's been saying everything that we've just summarized to the crowd, who he is, prophet, priest, and king, that reject him, receive him, listen to him. While Jesus is still talking to the crowd, verse 46, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." Obviously, we know the name of Jesus' mother, Mary. But in the next chapter, we're also told the name of some of Jesus' brothers. So if you flip over chapter 13, verse 55, just turn the page over there, it's also again on the screen, we read this. Speaking of Jesus, isn't this the carpenter's son, they say? Isn't his mother's name Mary? Aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? So Jesus' family have appeared, and the fact that Matthew mentions that they're outside wanting to speak to Jesus means that Jesus must be inside, and he's expected to go out to his family. In Near Eastern culture, the family unit was held in the highest of honor. In 21st century Western culture, we fail to see this to a large extent. For us, individuals are viewed as the kind of basic building blocks of society. We take pride in individual autonomy. But in the culture of Jesus' time, the family unit was the focus, as opposed to the individual. The family unit was held in highest honor and respect. This was the fundamental of the relationships, the building block of society. Look at what Jesus says in verse 48, chapter 12, verse 48. He replied to him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers." You see there the force. Think of the shock of those words falling on those first hearers. Those who relate to Jesus as his disciples, who love and obey him, are his real family. Jesus is saying that's the relationship that counts. It's not about biology with Jesus. It's about conformity to Jesus. Discipleship. It's not about biology to Jesus. It's about conformity to Jesus. To be related to Jesus is not a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. Jesus' biological family has no inside track on Jesus. They can't stand over Jesus and make demands. They must submit to Jesus and be discipled. Jesus' family must stop seeing him as a son and a brother and start seeing him as the promised prophet, priest, and king. God's son who has come into the world to save his people from their sins. This is radical. Hear what Jesus is saying this morning. A relationship with Him means following Him obediently. When we do that, when we submit to Jesus as King, we are joined to His family. We must see this morning the greatness of the claim that Jesus is making here. Perhaps that's one of the most things I want you to see so clearly. The greatness of the claim Jesus is making. Here is a 30-something year old carpenter from Nazareth. Well, he's a local boy. He's known in relation to his family. It's a carpenter's son. His mum's Mary. We know his brothers and sisters. That's how Jesus fits in to those around him. His family line, his identity. So when Jesus' family turn up to speak to him, well, of course, it's natural. Jesus is going to honor this and go out and speak with them. But Jesus reconfigures his family relationship, revealing who he is. He says, to belong to my family means to be a disciple of mine, doing the will of God. That's how supreme Jesus is saying he is. You want to know me? You want to be in with me? You want to relate to me? Then follow me. I am your Lord. I am your master. And by the way, this reconfiguring applies to us all. The most important family to belong to is Jesus' family. The most important family to belong to is Jesus' family. It's a family where God the Father rules and His Son the Lord Jesus reigns. It's a family of love and joy and peace, where the shame and guilt for all our wrongs has been forgiven. And we have the wonderful promise of eternal life, a new heavens and a new earth with a family harmony and joy and delight and pleasure that is out of this world. The Bible says we can't even begin to think or perceive or see what that new family in that new heavens and new earth and that new creation will belong to. And that's the family, Jesus' family, that we were actually made to belong to in the first place. It's why the Apostle Paul says in the book of Ephesians, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. We were made by God in our human nations and in our human families to be ultimately part of this family, the family of God. But all of us have rejected and turned away. And so here stands Jesus reconfiguring our world, causing us to see the most important of families, His family, which means loving and following Him obediently. Now, none of this, by the way, belittles or disregards our earthly families. Jesus isn't doing that here. He taught about what it means to care and love for a mother and a father, for a son and a daughter. As He hung on a cross, bearing the weight of sin and God's judgment for sin on Himself, He ensured right at that moment that His earthly mother was cared for, was looked after. We read this in John's Gospel. Jesus is hanging on a cross. We read, when Jesus saw His mother there and the disciple whom He loved, that's John standing nearby, He said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. No, Jesus loved his biological family. But in this reconfiguring of his family relationships, he reveals that the most important family to belong to is the one where he is honored and obeyed as God and King. Do you have that living relationship with Jesus? Do you belong to the family of God? It's the most important of relationships. It defines not only what will happen in this life, but what will happen in the life to come, and the judgment of God, and heaven, and hell. We often speak, don't we, of wanting to invest in a relationship or sort a relationship out. There is no person more important to invest in, put it in a crass way. No relationship more important to get right than this one. Belonging to Jesus, relating to Him. Because of the love of Jesus, He has done everything to make this relationship possible. We do nothing except bring our rebellion and waywardness, our sin and failure. Jesus, in his great love, has done it all. He's given his life, everything, as a sacrifice on the cross to make it possible for us to join the family of God. Let me ask you a question. Do you belong to this family? Let me call on each one of us to hear these startling words as Jesus reconfigures the family relationship and makes following him in obedience the prerequisite for belonging to the most important family of all. To belong to the family of Jesus means to be his disciple doing the will of God. Now, secondly and finally, something I've repeatedly assumed so far is what this discipleship, what this obedience looks like. I haven't unpacked that. I just said, look, Jesus is reconfigured family, saying the most important family is those who follow and love me, who belong to me. So let's look secondly at Jesus re-emphasizing discipleship. So look again at verse 48 with me. Verse 48 again. Look down at that. He replied to him, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Now, keep looking down at those words in your Bibles or on the screen. Just follow the logic of what Jesus is saying here, okay? The mother and brothers of Jesus want to see him, yeah? Jesus responds by saying, "Who are my mother and brothers?" Then he points to his disciples and says, "Here are my mother and brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." So you see, being a disciple of Jesus and doing the will of the Father in heaven are the same reality. They're the same thing. Two sides of the same coin. Disciple of Jesus does the will of the Father in heaven. Those who do the will of the Father in heaven is a disciple of Jesus. The idea of a disciple was common in Jesus' day. So Jewish disciples would follow their master around, often rabbis, learning from them, imitating them. And the goal was you became like your master, your rabbi. The way the Gospels unpack the meaning of disciple is to describe the call of Jesus on those to follow him. And the response to that call being one of recognition, the identity and belief in who Jesus is. And obedience to what he says, willingly counting the cost of following him. Being a disciple of Jesus means nothing less than saying goodbye to your old life and finding new life in the family of God through obeying the will of the Father. So being a disciple means learning from and imitating and loving Jesus. Not as one of many voices or options, but exclusively and with complete allegiance to following him. Another way of saying disciple of Jesus is doing the will of the Father. Now, in Matthew's Gospel, we have seen what this doing the will of the Father is all about. In Matthew chapter 3, we have the baptism of Jesus, and listen to what happens there. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, turn to it if you want, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened. You see, heaven opened. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. I hope you like the little model that I've got going up here. And a voice from heaven that said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." What is God's will? That the people of the earth recognize who Jesus is and be pleased with him as God the Father is. Then listen to how Jesus ends the famous Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5. So flip over a few more chapters. Chapter 5, this time verse 21. Jesus has been teaching about what it means to know God, to follow him, to obey him. And he says this, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Exactly the same phrase. What does that look like? Jesus tells us a few seconds later, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Doing the will of the Father is hearing and practicing the words of Jesus. Read the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5 to 7 this afternoon. No better way to spend the afternoon. There you will see the will of God. Then later in the ministry of Jesus, we hear again on a mountain where Jesus is being transfigured, seeing people saw something of his glory, we read these words. Matthew 18, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them. A voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." So in the context of Matthew, it is the will of God to follow Jesus, to listen to him, to rest in him, to be in awe of him, to acknowledge Jesus as the greatest of kings. What it means to approach God, what it means to know the way to God, to acknowledge Jesus as the supreme prophet who spoke and fulfilled the word of God and every promise of God in his life and death and resurrection. And the will of the Father in heaven is that all would know this relationship with Jesus and follow him gladly and obediently. God sent his only Son into the world to make knowing him possible, like a shepherd searching for lost sheep. Matthew chapter 18, verse 12. "If a man owns 100 sheep," Jesus said, "and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish." It is the will of the Father that you hear on Jesus and believe in him. To belong to the family of Jesus is to be his disciple. To put it another way, do the will of the Father. Do the will of God. Now, of course, as we follow Jesus, we do that imperfectly. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Forgive us our sins." Every true disciple of Jesus knows this. Every true disciple of Jesus knows that it's only through trusting in the perfect sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for our wrongs that we can find acceptance and entry into God's family in the first place. The Apostle John put it like this. He said, they asked Jesus, "What must we do the works of God?" So what does the will of God look like? Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, believe in the one he has sent." What does it mean to do the will of God? Believe in Jesus. That's the will of God there. Trusting and obeying him. But the fruit of that understanding, of understanding who Jesus is, of belonging to him, will be a life of obedience. A life of growing obedience. For the same trust that looks to Jesus for forgiveness and life will also bring obedience in life. We will want to know and obey God's word to us in Jesus. We will love and want to grow in our love of God and who he is and how he's revealed himself to us in his Son. For example, it is the will of God to avoid sexual immorality, 1 Thessalonians 4. To rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, 1 Thessalonians 5. To love not the things of a rebellious world, 1 John 2. To submit to every human authority, 1 Peter 2. To provide for our relatives who are in need, 1 Timothy 5. For parents to bring up their children in the training and instruction of the Lord, Ephesians 6. All of those the Bible describes as the will of God for us. For, and staying in the book of Ephesians, those who belong to Jesus' family are like those who've been woken from sleep, from the sleep of death, because of the light of Jesus shining on them, and who now desire to live as wise people, not foolish people, understanding what the Lord's will is. That's exactly what the Apostle says in Ephesians chapter 5. Understand, followers of Jesus, what the Lord's will is. The disciple of Jesus wants this, wants to grow in this, pleads forgiveness, obediently follows Christ. So, Jesus reconfigures his family and he re-emphasizes discipleship as he announces to people that to belong to the family of Jesus means to be his disciple doing the will of God. It's a life, brothers and sisters, that sings, "Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Nought be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, by presence, my light. High King of heaven, my victory won, may I reach heaven's joys where you are, Lord Jesus. O bright heaven's sun, heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. To belong to Jesus, to belong to Jesus' family, means to be his disciple, doing the will of God. Why don't we stand and sing that great hymn together? And why don't we